meeting of the Full Ways and Means Committee for the 2005 session. Our committee meetings will be starting on time, as will the subcommittee meetings. So if you don't not here to start, you will miss some of the information that hopefully you'll find important to you. We'll start off with the rules. I think the rules have been distributed to all members. Are there any questions or problems? Yes, Representative Frupp.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Quick question on number five. I'm assuming that even though it's not stated, the understanding there is that if a House co-chair or the Senate co-chair show up in committee, that they replace another member for voting, or are they additional vote?
Mr. Rocco, you want to go ahead and clarify that?
Yes, Mr. Chair, Representative Krupp, they would be able to make the quorum or vote, and it would be in addition to the existing members. Okay. So if you only had, if you needed a House co-chair to make a quorum, they could do that for you. They're not considered an appointed member of the committee, so you would, if you needed three members for a quorum, you only had two there, the House co-chair shows up, then you have a quorum.
And that then, if I may, Mr. Chairman, that then is the only circumstance then that you would have that occur?
Mr. Chair, Representative Krupp, a House and Senate co-chair can go into any committee at any time for whatever reason they want. That would be,
and again, Mr. Chair,
make a quorum.
My apologies. can do that at any time to add a vote?
That is correct.
That's correct.
Okay.
Want to make this process work as expeditiously and bipartisanly as possible.
And since I've never gotten over my shyness or childish inquisitions, I have another question on number 12.
Certainly.
Someone needs to explain that in language that this farm boy can understand, because I'm just not familiar with that.
Mr. Rocco, again, please.
Mr. Chair, Representative Krupp, as a joint committee, the process works that a bill is passed out of the full committee to the first chamber. If it's a House bill, it would go to the House floor first, and at which time it returns to the full committee and goes immediately to the Senate chamber, unless the co-chairs decide to do something different.
Okay. The language was confusing me about that. I thought that was the process, but I'm not sure the language is saying that was worse to me. Thank you, co-chairs, for your indulgence in my curiosities.
Very good. Any other questions of the rules?
Mr. Chairman, move the rules.
Thank you. There's been a motion to move the rules. Any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. Business unanimous, just like all this coming session. I just can't wait. Let's start off just with member introductions. We'll start down at the Senate end, give the House members a chance to polish their rhetoric. Of course, the senators are very good at it already. We're going to limit everyone to five sentences to say who they are, what they did in a former lifetime, or what they're continuing to do, and then why they're on Ways and Means. Senator Nelson, would you start, please?
David Nelson, state senator from... I live in Pendleton. I represent four counties out in northeast Oregon, and in my real life, I'm a grain farmer. Why I'm on Ways and Means, I have no idea.
Appreciate your honesty.
God.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Frank Morris. In my previous life, I spent a lifetime in the construction materials industry, mining and processing aggregates from sand and gravel, upland quarries, converting that into materials for roads and bridges and concrete. I no longer have a direct employment relationship with Morse Brothers, and I live in Albany, representing the Corvallis and Albany areas, and this is my second tour of duty on Ways and Means, and I'm looking forward to it. Thank you.
Senator Devlin, in one of my previous lives, I worked with adult and juveniles in correction. There are some comparisons to working in this building. My district is Lake Oswego, West Lynn, Tualatin, Lower Southwest Portland, Dunthorpe, obviously a district with very significant economic needs.
Please.
Sorry. Richard, that is the shortest speech I've ever heard from you. Those of us know Richard well, that is probably just about killed him, so I have to cut it off that quickly. I'm Alan Bates. I'm a family physician from Southern Oregon. I have Medford and Ashland as a primary part of my senatorial district. I also am a part-time farmer, which I do poorly. I hope my work as a physician goes better than that. I hope that my work here goes better than that also. And I will join Senator Nelson in saying I'm not quite sure why I'm here, but I'm willing to serve and work hard. Thank you.
Good morning. Avail Gordley, Senate District 23, which is the central east side of Portland and Multnomah County, wonderful neighborhoods in northeast and southeast Portland. Previous employment, I've worn several hats. My most recent previous employment was as a parent coordinator with the Albina Head Start. I have a long history also in the administration of justice, professional in the administration of justice, also having worked in corrections with adult offenders, and I have also worked with adjudicated juveniles. I'm very interested or just absolutely looking forward to chairing the public safety subcommittee, and thank the Senate President and co-chairs for investing faith in my leadership of that committee. I have a particular interest in the Oregon benchmarks and keeping the Oregon benchmarks linked to the budget-making process. By example, we have a benchmark that says that Oregon shall provide funding for all pre-K eligibles, pre-kindergarten eligibles, by 2005. Well, we're not going to make it. And so we need to keep our eyes focused on all of the benchmarks, and again, as they relate to our budget making process, and as we look at the performance measures for the various agencies as well.
Senator Jackie Winters, and I represent Salem, Almsville, Turner, Monmouth, and Independence. My previous life, I was a restaurant owner of multiple restaurants, including some franchises. Also, my previous life included serving two governors. I was involved in the development and establishing of Department of Human Services back in the late 60s, early 70s. Worked with Children's Services Division. I was your state ombudsman from 79 to 81. This is my third term as on Ways and Means. Chaired Human Services for two sessions back to back. The second person in the history of this state to do so. There's only been one other person who has had that distinction. My career in public service started in 1958 at the University of Oregon Health Science Center. And don't ask me why I'm up here.
How many sentences did you say?
Five. Thank you, Madam Vice Chair. Now we're coming up to Senator Westland, who I'm sure will use five sentences.
I am Senator Ben Westland from Senate District 27. That's Central Oregon, Ben Country.
Ben is a D-N.
They misnamed the town. I can't quite get them to get that D off the end yet. I am Senator Ben Westland. I am a husband and a father. I would go into my profession, but this is a GP-rated movie, so we can't quite address what I actually do. And I'm confident the reason I am on Ways and Means is I have a demonstrated lack of capacity to do anything else in this building.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Margaret Carter, House District 22, the northernmost district in the state and the most wonderful district in the world. I'm a 35-year educator, 29 of those at Portland Community College. My most recent job was that of Chief Executive Officer of the Urban League of Portland. I'm on this committee because I enjoy being able to set fiscal policies and hope that I am able to work on both sides of the aisle and come to some logical conclusions in terms of how we take care of Oregonians fiscally and financially.
We'll go to Senator Moore Sanderson.
I'm Senator Laurie Moss Sanderson from East Multnomah County, which includes Gresham, Troutdale, Wood Village, and Fairview. I've been a nurse, and I was served in the House for two sessions, and I'm now in the Senate. Very happy to be here. I'm chair of the Health Policy Committee, and I think the reason I am here is because it's nice to have substantive representation on the Ways and Means, and I'm very glad that the co-chairs have made the decision to sort of have a coordination, more of a coordination between the substantive committees as well as Ways and Means.
Senator Bill Morse, that's Senate District 6, which includes Lane, parts of Lane and Linn County, both urban and rural. I'm the chair of the Human Resource or Human Services Committee in the Senate, also on the Education Committee, and on Senator Mona Sanderson's committee as well. My background is a high school teacher for 30 years, and I served both on the Springfield City Council and Mayor of Springfield for 10 years. I've been in the legislature since 1999. This is the first opportunity that I've had to be on a Ways and Means Committee. And I appreciate the opportunity to be on this side of the equation, and I think there should be more coordination between the policymaking committee and the more personnel. People should serve on both the substantive committee and the Ways and Means portion of the substantive committee that they're serving on. It doesn't make sense that there's this disconnect, but I think we're beginning to address that. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Joanne Berger, and I am a senator from District 5, and that is from Coos Bay through Lincoln City on the coast. I'm a business owner, a former mayor, have worked in economic development at the local level and at the state level since 1990. This session will serve as chair of transportation. I'm very eager to work in this particular area of transportation and economic development because of the years of experience that I've had, and also coming from the private sector in business, I think I have a good understanding of that, and so I look forward to the process.
Thank you. I'm Senator Vicki Walker from Eugene. I'm chair of the Education and Workforce Policy Committee, and as a policy wonk, I'm scared to death that I'm on Ways and Means, but actually I'm really glad for this opportunity because we're trying to extend ourselves, make a full circle with this budgeting stuff so that the policy knows what the budget area is doing, and so there are four of the policy committees this session that have members on Ways and Means. I am up to the challenge. I certainly know how to balance a checkbook. I know how to dig for answers. So I'm really excited about this. And I'm on a big learning curve, but I'm ready to rock.
I'm Doug Whitsett, Senator from Senate District 28. Takes in Klamath, Lake, Crook, parts of Jackson, and Deschutes counties. I'm a retired veterinarian and retailer, farmer. I have a small timber acreage. My wife and I own and operate residential rental property in the Klamath area. I've been a small businessman for 35 years, and I'm primarily here just to learn and to participate in the budgeting process.
Thank you. I'm Senator Kurt Schrader. I'm from Clackamas County, and I'm interested in developing a totally new, revolutionary, sustainable budget process that the state of Oregon will be the first to pioneer with your help, and look forward to restoring some credibility to what should be the most august state body in state government.
I'm Dan Doyle, and I'm the other co-chair on the House side, but also a state representative from Salem, South Salem, Almsville, Turner, and a business lawyer in real life, so looking to start putting this together. I think share some of Senator's views about making ways that we can make our budget more accountable, more open, and for those who are questioning why they're here, to me, it's very simple. Our presiding officers are very wise people, and they have shared that wisdom by making sure that there are people in here that are going to be able to work together and be able to put together the budgets that we have to do. So
they'd like us the least.
I'm Susan Morgan. I represent House District 2, which is the south-central part of Douglas County, from Roseburg South and a little bit of Josephine, a little bit of Jackson counties. I live in a little town south of Roseburg called Green. In my previous life, I've worked for a long time in the timber industry down in Douglas County. I've been in the Ways and Means process during all my four terms in the legislature, and I'm very honored this time to chair the Natural Resources Subcommittee and also to serve under Senator Devlin on the Education Subcommittee. And I just want to say that I'm so pleased to see Senator Westland back in this committee, because his business-like orientation to the process is going to be a great addition.
I'm Gary Hansen, State Representative from House District 44, which is primarily North Portland with some parts of Northeast. Back when I did honest work, I was a plumber and worked in the plumbing industry for 25 years, and then had the pleasure to serve on Multnomah County Commission for 8 and Metro Council for 8. I've requested to be on Ways and Means because I think this is absolutely vital in a time of declining resources that we spend the money in the most coordinated, wise fashion. It's even more important when there's fewer resources. So I'm looking forward to the tasks ahead of us.
I'm Betsy Johnson. I represent House District 31. It goes from the mouth of the Columbia River in Astoria to the confluence with the Willamette at Sauvie Island. In my in my previous life, I owned and flew for a commercial helicopter company for nearly 20 years. In that context, I understand business budgeting. I served as the Aeronautics Administrator for the state of Oregon for 5 years and learned public budgeting from that experience. I've served on Ways and Means the entire time that I've served in the legislature, so this is my third term on Ways and Means.
Good morning. I'm Greg Smith. I serve House District 57, which is God's country, Wallowa Lake, the La Grande, the best parts of Umatilla County, and all of Morrow County. I spoke with my wife this morning, and according to her, in my former life, I was a father and a husband, and she's missing having them around for the next, hopefully, 6 months. I'm anticipating 7. I guess I'm on Ways and Means to serve at the beck and call of my co-chairs. So that's why I'm here.
I'm State Representative Jeff Krupp from House District 17, which is rural East Linn County and East Marion County, cities of Sweet Home, Lebanon, Scio, Staten, Sublimity, and Detroit Lake. It's mostly timber and agriculture, although I have a large population of perhaps some of you who work for state government and live out in that neck of the woods. It's my privilege to be on this committee. First time as full Ways and Means, actually. I've served in the 99 and 01 sessions on subcommittees, and it's a pleasure to be here. And at 45, I have still not figured out yet what I want to be. I seem to have about 4 or 5 different jobs, so, and this is one of them. It's great to be here with you. I look forward to working with you all.
I'm Dennis Richardson. I represent District 4, which is the Rogue Valley from Medford over to Grants Pass and basically the rural areas in between. I have a wife and 9 children, 1 son and 8 daughters, one of whom is being married tomorrow, my number 7 daughter. So they'll all have been married and moved on, Mr. Hart, except for one 16-year-old who's still with us. I've been just a small-town country lawyer in Central Point for 25 years. I'm on this committee and working in this area because I want to work to do those things that will help restore greater trust of the people in their government. I want to help assure that there's greater transparency in government so that it's a more open process. I believe that we can do that by focusing on performance-based budgeting so that the people have an indication of what they're buying for the money that they spend. And I'm on the Human Services Committee, subcommittee, because I really want to assure that the money that we do have available in that area helps our most needy, and that we focus on assuring that the needs of the most needy are met and that we help all others to help themselves.
Brad Avaki in Northeast Washington County, primarily Beaverton and Aloha. And with your indulgence, Representative Smith, I think God had a little hand in our part of the state, too. Civil rights lawyer for the past 14 years, and with respect to why I'm here, when you move up to Ways and Committees, Ways and Means Committee, you kind of get the sense you've been caught up in the draft, I suppose, so the co-chairs maybe know a little more why, but I am pleased to be here and will lend what I can.
Co-chairs, I'm Gene Wisnett, and I'm from District, it's an honor to be the representative from District 53, which is Oregon's all-year playground, rural Deschutes County. My previous experience, I'm a retired military officer. I was a diplomat. I was a spy. I've been a politician for 1.5 years, and I work on the Commission for Children and Families in Deschutes County. I'm here because I think I learned in the Pentagon in 8 years how to do more with less. I'm also here because they told me, and I know that I can work as hard as Ben Westland and say it in less sentences. That's 4 sentences.
Commas. Good morning. I'm Bruce Hanna. I represent House District 7. For many of you, metropolises like Tiller, Elkton, Westboro. For those of you who haven't studied your state map, it also includes Sutherland, Cottage Grove, and Oak Ridge. It's a great portion of the wilderness sections of Douglas and Lane County. In real life, for business, my wife and I are franchisee of the Coca-Cola Company, and we operate an independent Coca-Cola franchise. I'm in the Ways and Means process, I hope primarily because it was my desire to be here, and I made that desire clear to leadership that I hope to use both business and community service experience to be valuable to the committee. And in violation of my 5 sentences, I may feel like I know Representative Richardson just a little bit better and understand him because I am one of 7 children and I have 6 older sisters. So I may see him as a father figure. You'll understand why.
All right. Well, before we move on to the next piece, which is the introductions of our LFO staff, we thought before we could do that, maybe we should have a legislative fiscal officer to do the introductions. And to make sure that happens, we need to appoint a legislative fiscal officer. Fellow co-chair, if you don't mind, I'd like to place Ken Rocco in nomination as our legislative fiscal officer. Ken had a great session, I thought, last session, and you know, getting into it for the first time in that position, not only was he very capable, but he was able to manipulate and you know wander through a tremendous minefield, I think, to ultimately get a well-crafted budget put together. And the way he works with his staff, the way he works with members, with leadership, you know, he has a great way to very professional way to deal with people. And I look forward to working with him again.
Very good. Any objections, additions to that nomination? We won't let him decline, and we won't let him make a speech, because he won't make a speech. He may decline. So on that basis, if there's no objection, welcome aboard again, Mr. Rocco.
thank you very much, I think.
Why don't you... he's an enthusiastic type guy, too. Why don't we go into the LFO recommendations, and you bring us up to speed as what you might want to have occur in your Ways and Means Committee.
Mr. Chair, I would like to perhaps first introduce staff to you to get so you can have a name and face. You'll be running into these people quite a bit in the next several months. So I would ask them, I believe they're behind me, hopefully.
And I will ask... They're still behind you.
And I'll just ask them to stand when I get to their name, and then they can, after we're done, they can be excused to go back and start working to get things ready. Or they can stay if they want, since they usually do what they want anyways. First, the newest four people in the office are committee assistants that we bring in for session, and they have just started earlier this month. We have Kat Fell, who's going to be in this room, Hearing Room F. She's going to be this assistant for the Human Services and the Transportation Economic Development Subcommittees. We have Anne Marie Housley, who will be in H-174, and she's going to do the General Government and Natural Resource Subcommittees. Diane Myers is going to be in H-170 and in Hearing Room E, because she's doing the Education Committee, which will be meeting in Hearing Room E. And then the Public Safety Subcommittee in H-170. Paula Fitch is our scheduler and front office crowd control person. So she will be, as you come in the door, she will be there. In addition to, for support purposes, Joan Diaz is back there in the corner. And during session, she functions as our fiscal impact coordinator and makes sure the fiscal impacts get out to committees, and she also provides office administrative support. And then Gina Rumbaugh is during session coordinates this committee, so she makes sure that agendas get posted, makes sure you have your materials in time, and she also functions as the office manager. Now for budget staff, Larry Neislender is the deputy fiscal officer, and he's responsible for the legislative branch budget and about any other thing I am able to dump on him, which is quite a bit of things. I do that. Very good. I'm learning how to delegate, and he's the primary delegatee. Sheila Baker is the Human Services Subcommittee scheduler and is... responsible for the children and family programs within the Department of Human Services, and she is also does the youth authority budget. Steve Bender is the education subcommittee scheduler and does primarily the post-secondary education budgets. John Borden does fiscal impacts on the human services, public safety, and judicial branches this session. John Britton is responsible for the Department of Human Services budgets, the clusters of health services, which includes the health plan and the senior programs, and he also does the insurance pool governing board. Monica Brown does budgets in community and economic development arena, such as employment, housing, PUC, and she also does the Secretary of State. Susie Jordan is responsible for the transportation area. It includes ODOT and aviation. They're the two agencies. She also does OLCC, the military department, and three natural resource agencies, forestry, the Gorge Commission, and parks. Robin Lamont is the Transportation and Economic Development Subcommittee scheduler, and... she does the departments of consumer and business services, economic development, judicial department, public defense services commission, and takes care of the lottery also. Sue McGlashan is the natural resource subcommittee scheduler, She's responsible for the state school fund and the Department of Education, as well as the land, natural resource agencies, LUBA, DLCD, and state lands. Deborah Manthe is doing the health and occupational licensing boards and some of the non-DHS human service agencies. Paul Siebert does most of the Oregon Plan natural resource agencies, such as Department of Ag, DEQ, Fish and Wildlife, Water, and OWEB. Adrian Sexton is our fiscal impact supervisor, and she will be producing fiscal impacts on the administration, education, and ledge branch. Dallas Wyand is the general government subcommittee scheduler and takes care of most of the administrative agencies, such as Department of Administrative Services, Governor's Office, PERS, Department of Revenue. Doug Wilson is the public safety subcommittee scheduler and takes care of most of the public safety agencies, such as Corrections, State Police, Criminal Justice Commission, Department of Justice. We also have two rotation analysts that come in during session to help us. This session they're going to be working on fiscal impacts. We have Rick Frawley, who's from the Department of Consumer and Business Services Insurance Division, and he'll be doing fiscal impacts on economic development and consumer services. And then Tom Hughes is from the Parks Department, and he's going to be doing fiscal impacts on natural resources and transportation. I think that's everybody.
If not, forever hold your peace. That's good.
You have, as part of your packet, a list of budget assignments by individual analysts, and you also have a list by agency, so you can look either way. If you have any questions about any of these agencies, just call that analyst and check in, and you'll get a response.
Thank you. You want to go over our upcoming training schedule, Mr. Rocco?
Yes, Mr. Chair. You also have a one-sheet full committee schedule that goes over the next couple of weeks. Our intention with this was to get some of the members who have not been on Ways and Means before a grounding in the budget process, budget terminology, and some of the major issues that that you will hear in subcommittee about budgets, such as positions and IT information technology packages and bonding and debt service and capital construction. So we have arranged to have the experts in those areas come forward in the next couple of weeks to give you training. All of these meetings will be in the morning from 8:30 to 10:30, which will give you the afternoons off or to do other things. The first several days will be done by LFO staff, and then we will turn it over to people from the Department of Administrative Services and other agencies. Beginning on Monday the 24th, we'll have sessions on the governor's budget to give you an overview of the governor's budget as it by the people who actually developed it. So you can ask them questions at that time. We're not allotting a lot of time to this because you will get into more detail and individual agencies and the subcommittees. And one thing that is not on this list is on February 4th, which is a Friday, we're going to have a team of people from NCSL come and talk about the linkage of performance measurement to the allocation of dollars through the budget process, which is basically the next step that Oregon would need to go in order to integrate the performance measure system that we've developed into the budgeting system. So we're looking forward to that meeting, and they will be here in the morning to give you a presentation, and then they will be talking to staff in the afternoon. For these training meetings over the next couple of weeks, we're going to provide you on Monday with a notebook, a three-ring binder notebook, and that you can store information in that you get, because you will get handouts in at each of these meetings. So we'll be providing that to you on Monday.
Any questions for Mr. Rocco? Part of the reason for the overview, too, I know a lot of chairs and members are interested in getting into it. It's good to have some knowledge as to get into it. There's a lot of new members on the House side. We have a completely new member on the Senate side, as well as some policy people that have not delved into Ways and Means before. So hopefully the sessions will be an opportunity for you to get grounded. The other reason is to let the analysts begin to do their work as we develop the schedule, Dan and I both, to get things ready with the agencies to come before us. There is a time that is needed for them to bring these things forward, and that's also factored into your training schedule.
Mr. Chairman.
Madam Vice Chair.
Thank you. History has always admitted Ways and Means Committee people good luck, and because they do lots and lots of work. They spend long, interminable hours in this place over the next however many months we are in session. So this committee has always sent them off with well wishes and good work, because they will be involved in a mind game that will have to work on both sides of the building, both sides of the aisle, and with all kind of people who have special interest as well. So I'd like, as a senior member of this committee, to wish you well as you go into your work.
Thank you, Senator.
Just a couple of brief comments, I think, from the co-chairs to the group. I alluded to my little brief introduction. We are looking at doing budgeting in the state of Oregon in a very, very, very different way. That's going to be difficult for staff. It's going to be difficult for agencies. It's going to be difficult for members, some of us more than others. I know I tend to be a creature of habit. So to break out of that and think in a totally new dynamic direction is going to be somewhat difficult. I am emboldened and feel pretty upbeat about the prospect, though, because I know my Republican House members, the Senate Democrat members, and hopefully the other caucuses have been working on these things all summer long. So this shouldn't be totally new or totally alien to any of us. It will be a Herculean task to go the route we are going. No state legislature has successfully done this yet. There have been our neighbor to the north and some other states have looked into this. They've been largely governor-driven. No state has gone into the program detail and the prioritization process based on outcomes, not because Senator Kurt Schrader or Representative Dan Doyle like a particular program. It's going to be about ranking those programs that are getting the best outcomes, the best bang for the buck for the people of the state of Oregon. We all come at this from different reasons and different inclinations, but I look at the group of people I see here before me, the mix and match of creativity, thoughtfulness, experience, novel new ideas, and I am really optimistic that this group of people are the right group of people to make these decisions this coming session, but it will be a Herculean task. You'll be, if you're doing it right, you'll be no one's friend by the end of this session. Mm-hmm. By the same token, if you're doing it right, hopefully you won't really have any enemies. They will understand why you all have made the choices you have made. And they may not like all those choices, much like we found at the end of last biennium, but hopefully they will at least understand the process, and it will be a process that is respected by the people of the state of Oregon, and we'll be able to go forward.
I think probably more than anything else that Senator Schrader is looking to in those opening comments is something that I see as well, and that's the need for an open process. It's not just open and transparent to the public as far as what we're trying to accomplish, but it's also a mindset among the members and among the agency who are going to be presenting to us. It's an openness to consider a new way of thinking on how we budget for the state of Oregon. It's trying to stay open to some different ideas on looking at priorities of government and focusing on how we get value for the limited dollars we have for the programs that are absolutely necessary for state government. And through that then with that same kind of openness and making sure that we basically check certain things at the door as we consider these issues. A lot of us come here with preconceived notions as we enter the legislature. A lot of us are coming here wanting to put forth a certain philosophy, and there is no question that brings value to what we try to accomplish in the legislature. And the strength of this committee is the diversity of the values and the positions that people come from. But there's also a place to draw the line, and that's when those tend to put the partisanship beyond, over and above the process and trying to make something come together. And when you look at the Oregon's Constitution dealing with the legislature, we only have one responsibility according to the Constitution, and that's to put forward a balanced budget for the state of Oregon. And to do that, probably more so than any other time, as we consider a new way to budget, we do it in a bicameral process that has leadership in from both parties involved in ways that hasn't been for quite a while. The end result of our work together is going to be something that we all agree on. And to make that agreement come forward, it's going to take that kind of give and take, that openness to consider the possibilities that even though, each of us has our own view of things, that there are some equal and valid views of the world as well that must be considered and must be accommodated. So I'm looking at this that as we try to fill that constitutional mandate, as we look to work together in a very difficult process, hopefully we're going to be able to put those differences of opinion in a more productive way so that we can channel those differences in knowing what's best and what we can do with each other to make this come together.
Procedurally, there'll be some. I'll go over just a few specifics. We're going to allow a great deal of latitude with the subcommittee chairs to pursue their agenda in the way they see fit. However, unlike past recent sessions, we will encourage them, if they want to be successful, to make sure the co-chairs know where they're going and why. The goal here is to work together. I think, as Representative Doyle said, we've got some great chairs here, I think, that know a heck of a lot about the process and can really engage their members successfully. But if we're going to be successful, there's no point going down some road that is not going to get buy-in from other chambers and other members. So it really behooves you to work closely with your co-chairs on your work plan in addition to your analysts. Big projects will be cleared through Rocco and the co-chairs. As you can see, we have a limited amount of staff. Past sessions, DHS in particular, is bombarded by an array of very thoughtful inquiries by a great deal of well-meaning members. And unfortunately, it bogs our process down, and we don't get either the best information or the quality information that we need. So big projects and stuff where you want to have some analysts or some DHS or Department of Education, whoever, folks doing some big work, we'd like to know about that so we can best make that happen in a timely manner for you and the members of your committees. We're not looking forward to a lot of budget notes. I don't want to see any. That's my ideal number of budget notes, zero. If you have to have a budget note, I'm sure it will be critical to the life of the universe as we know it. To get that budget note will require the approval of both co-chairs. So, it's always wise to have your analyst on board to begin with. I would hope that this body, which I may say, including my policy, now Ways and Means members sitting before me, represent the cream of the crop here in Oregon. And I think we're lucky to have you as members of Ways and Means. I would expect that you conduct yourselves with a great deal of respect and courtesy, particularly to the members out there.
I expect in this committee members to be firm, thoughtful, and persistent in their questions and in their endeavors. That's the nature of being on Ways and Means. But at all times, show the agencies or the public the same courtesy you would expect from them if you were sitting out there. That's really, really, really important. Sometimes in the heat of battle, one can tend to get carried away, and I will lean on my co-chair and my vice chair to make sure I work in a collegial, thoughtful manner that respects the process and makes people think great things about the state of Oregon. We have some tough decisions to make, so we want to make sure the public out there in particular understands why we're making some of these trade-offs that we're going to be faced with. I would hope that and expect that if the subcommittee chairs are working closely with the co-chairs, that we will be supporting the subcommittee chairs at all times. If you have difficulties with other members or leadership, and we have agreed on a course of action, I pledge to you here that we will support you as members and the subcommittee chairs in anything that comes up on the floor, in other discussions. You should look to us for as allies and helping you and trying to move your agendas and stuff forward. It had been a problem once before, but
Mr. Chairman.
Just
in addition, history has also played a great role in how Ways and Means people conduct themselves, and I haven't seen that in the last two or three sessions. Usually, if a bill come out of Ways and Means, the members, if they're going to rail on the floor against the bill, they usually respectfully let other people know they are. Also, if something comes out of committee and a person has not served notice that they were going to be voting against that bill, usually it's a courtesy that they know about it and before it goes to the floor. Usually, Ways and Means members, and I date myself and talk about my 16 years of being on this committee, but at the same time, it's a family, and people tend to work close together in that way. Has nothing to do with party on Ways and Means Committee. Has everything to do with the family and how we go forth from here. And it's not broken down among Democrats and Republicans or independents or male and female. We operate as a family, and it has worked well. One of the most renowned chairs that we've had in the state is in the back there, and in the form of Jeff Gilmore. And Jeff will tell you how much Ways and Means worked as a family and how people stuck together. And if we were going to disagree, we'd disagree among each other and not get on the floor of the House or the Senate and make your Ways and Means look bad. That just is not the way Ways and Means people over the years have deported themselves. And so I'm hoping that we can get back to the point where even if we disagree, we will disagree among each other here and not embarrass other members of Ways and Means by going to the floor and then disagreeing about something that you had a part in the first place. So I'm hoping, Mr. Chair, we can deport ourselves as a family.
Rule number 8 references what Senator Carr so eloquently spoke to.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Senator Gordley.
Thank you. I would like to comment on one thing. There is another constitutional mandate that applies to the legislature, and some of my colleagues have heard me reference this mandate before, and I encourage my colleagues on this committee to become familiar with Article 9, the chapter on finance, Sections 2 and 6. That article and those sections say, in essence, that when there are insufficient revenues to operate government services, the legislature shall levy a tax. That language is also a mandate in the Constitution, and I offer it as food for thought.
Thank you for your comments. Bill Fisher.
The as we look at the hearing process and something just to kind of reiterate what Senator Schrader mentioned, the most important duty we're going to be having in these subcommittees is to rank all programs by the best outcomes. It's not necessarily by the most popular program, but it's by what is what is the outcome, and what is that outcome going to provide for the state of Oregon? And it is a process, and it's one that each of you are going to be evaluating all these programs that are funded by the state or that we are being requested to fund. We're going to be identifying efficiencies. And as you go through that, as the subcommittees, the co-chairs promise to you is that you'll have our support. Anything that comes out of your subcommittee will be supported by the co-chairs. And once you agree on a course of action, we're going to be there for you. At the same time, we also see subcommittees have some responsibilities, not just going through the programs and identifying efficiencies, but they have an obligation to the whole body to make sure that we keep this process moving. And to that end, I was very heartened to know that once I started talking about bipartisanship, the building didn't go crumbling, or there no lightning came striking. So I'll start with this one, which is probably an equal shock. We want the committee meetings to start on time. And we're going to back that up. The co-chairs, if we don't see that a meeting's ready to start on time, we're going to come in and start it for you. And hopefully we're not going to have to do that too often, because we got our work to do too. And we don't need to be taking on your role as well. But it's a matter of respect for the members who are there, ready to work. And it's a matter of respect for the people of Oregon that we do this. And we'll be there to fill in as we have to through that process. And, hopefully those members who find themselves consistently late or not interested in doing the work can start talking to their presiding officers about maybe finding a different place to be. The next thing is part of the process, making sure it keeps moving, is each of you, through your subcommittees, have a lot of programs and agencies to work through. And that means we got to get this process moving in a way that once that train starts rolling, we're not going to be making many stops. And if it turns out that a committee ends up getting behind in its work, then, we'll be working with that committee to see what we have to do to lighten their load. And unfortunately, what that's going to mean, if we have to make those kind of decisions, is that your fellow committee members are going to have to pick up that load. So we hope that you'll be able to commit the time to make sure that we continue focused on keeping the process moving forward.
Not to belabor the point, this is our first meeting. I think it's been pretty successful. We are going to have to work together. The reason I'm in Ways and Means, cut to the chase, is this is one place in the building I didn't get in trouble too often, because I could talk to everybody. All the party stuff kind of faded away. It was a fun place to be, albeit you're making the tough decisions. The partisanship that was on the floor doesn't occur down here, and I can't emphasize that enough, at least in my experience. I think the senior members have already spoken to that, and it's just been a great opportunity for you to get to know one another. It's the only committee that sees the budget as a whole. We have a lot of great policy people upstairs that are well-meaning and have great ideas for our great state, but this is the only committee that understands how it all fits together. The only committee. It is the only joint committee. You will be the people that will develop the bipartisanship relations that are going to keep us together this session. And that's no small task. No small task. But you will be the group that will develop these early relationships that will hopefully bring the rest of our colleagues along as we go through these discussions. Also, it's kind of important because it requires a majority of each chamber to get the bills out of here, out of the subcommittees. So we do, just factually, have to work together to make this sort of thing happen. But I'm confident this will happen. From the Senate side, I talked to the President of the Senate about who should be on Ways and Means, and we got the cream of the crop, I think, particularly with the additions of our connections with the policy committees. I mean, that's pretty exciting to me, is starting to begin a process where we can, at least on the Senate side, not only delve into the numbers, but some of the policies that maybe impede some of our progress, some of the rules and mandates that maybe need to be going away that our policy committee chairs can begin to look at and make Oregon just a little bit little bit better place. So I'm very excited about starting off the session. A lot of responsibility, but I've worked with most everyone here, particularly on the Senate side. Looking forward to a fellow veterinarian on the Senate side, worked with Doug also. He can't be wrong. He's a veterinarian. So it'll just be a really exciting opportunity. We're going to do great things, Dean. We're going to do great things.
Mr. Chair.
One more comment for safe from, if I may, I'd like to defer to the co-chair and then the vice chair and then open it up for members.
Well, thank you. And I guess as we've gone through the last couple of weeks, just once the appointments were made and we started looking at the committee membership, looking at what assignments each of you have for your subs, the more excited I got, not just because of the caliber, you know, that each one of you carry with you, but also just knowing, I guess, that there's a way to get this done, and there's a way to do it with a process that everybody is going to have value. Everyone is going to know that, you know, as much as they want about the process. And they're going to be able to keep that big picture in mind as we try to achieve, you know, the ultimate goals, which is, you know, bringing this balanced budget home. And I can't think of anybody better that I want to work with than the people that are here. And I see just a lot of opportunity that we're going to be able to bring this together and make sure that we can get this thing put together in a timely fashion. So it's going to be quite a process. It's not going to be easy, not in any way. I mean, I'm just hoping no one's coming in here with any misconception. It is tough work, and you are going to be making very difficult decisions. But I'm just glad you're here, part of this, because I totally trust every single one of you, you know, to be able to handle that job and work through it. And I'm just really looking forward to working with each one of you.
No. Any comments from the rest of the members? Pearl's Wisdom. We'll go to first with Representative Hansen and Senator Bates.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. One question and one just quick comment. To keep the train rolling without many stops, the more transparent the schedule is, so we can take it upon ourselves to prepare for the decision-making process, will certainly be helpful. The other question is, are we expecting a co-chair's budget, and is there a timeline for that?
Yeah, there will be a co-chair's budget. We're working on the timeline. There's been some discussion trying to incorporate some of the early subcommittee work, some of the prioritization that you all are doing, so it's not a co-chair's budget made in a vacuum. But we're trying to work on the best way to do that and get the scheduling of all the committees and the information you need.
And to your other point, Representative Hansen, on being prepared, we want to make sure you have the tools to be prepared, and that includes giving you some advance notice on when the various agencies or programs are going to come before you. And I can't emphasize enough, there's just a lot of reading to be done, but the more prepared you are going into those meetings, the better work you will have coming out and the better product you'll have coming out. So I encourage you to take advantage of those materials. Take advantage of the LFO staff, you know, to get the questions answered that you may have going in, and start. You know, you'll get a feel for, you know, what you need to hold off to wait and ask the agencies about. But overall, you know, the more prepared you are, the better it's going to be for you.
Senator Bates, and we'll finish up with two most thoughtful women.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I just want to make a comment and make sure we have a clear understanding of keeping the train moving. We need to take time in some, especially some areas like DHS, to get it right. Take the time to get the details down and get it right. And I hope we'd have a leeway to, as the session goes along, to meet in the evenings if necessary, even on weekends. There has been times when I felt it was rushed last session. I'm not sure we got it right because of that. There are also times when Senator Westland, myself, and others met as a committee in the evenings, and that was very productive time we spent that way. It was tiring, but it gave us an opportunity to really get down to the detail that you're talking about, this new way of budgeting. Time is going to be of an essence here. and we do want to keep moving, and I appreciate what you've told us. But I'm hoping you will give us the leeway to have other meetings other than those that are presently thought of as being scheduled, because I believe in DHS especially, mm-hmm. possibly in other committees, that we are going to need more time than is allocated to us at this point. We may even have to break into subcommittees of a subcommittee in order to get the job done properly. I hope you'll consider that in your deliberations. Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Winters.
I just, you know, the discussion was about this body comes together in a bipartisan way, and that's very, very true. Because in the bowels of the budget, it's not about whether one is a Republican or a Democrat. It's about crafting a budget to meet the constitutional requirement. But it's also something else, and I think you've heard a lot about the details of the budget. One piece that wasn't mentioned that I need to mention, because if you don't know the funding streams and have any inclination of how we fund things, I would implore all of you that are new to figure out the federal end of all of this that evolves into the state end, because you're going to hear language that you've never heard before. And you're going to, you know, leave this room talking about federal mandates that you've never heard about before, that the state jumps through hoops that you never knew that we jumped through before. And having said that, I want to say that it's always when we lose a member, we're sad, because we do become where we know each other, laugh at each other, smile at each other, and we cry with each other on this body. And we're going to lose one of our members today, and that's Senator Joan Dukes. This is her last time here with us. Some of us have gotten to know her quite well, and I just want to say that I'm going to miss you. We're pleased that you're going on to higher and bigger things. We want you to make certain that you teach those other three states that Oregon knows best. But it's a little different down here. For those of you who have served on Ways and Means, we are rather close. And I'm the last one. I know that there's other members here, Senator Gordon and others, who also want to wish you well.
Thank you so much, Senator.
If the body would indulge me, I think it's appropriate to end our first meeting by having the dean of the state legislature, who's moving on to the Northwest Power Planning Council, offer us a couple of words if she wouldn't mind, if I would go on. And we certainly do wish her all the best.
Thank you. It's been a couple of years down here.
20.
What Senator Winter says is so right. You will become closer to each other than you ever expect. And I can only say, take a deep breath regularly and have patience. And I can tell you that party doesn't mean a darn thing when you get in the throes of an agency budget or what's going on. And that is to all of our credit. It impressed me years ago when I first started with all of that, and the parties can have all of the agendas they want to, but the buck stops here, and you get the last one that comes in the door, and the voters and the citizens expect you to spend it for them, and they're going to hold you accountable when you get out of here. So lots of deep breaths and lots of patience, even when you haven't had enough sleep. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
There's no further business before the Full Ways and Means Committee. We will stand adjourned.